This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Rob, let's get back to talking about basketball. There are two teams that are for sure going to emerge in March. Team one is major college team that's a four or a five seed that hasn't quite been able to all put it together, and they're kind of like how Missouri fans are thinking. Man, we've got a good team. If we could just get hot for two, three games, we could wake up and we could find ourselves in the Elite Eight. That is a real team. Last year, that team was Alabama. Last year, that team was Clemson. Duke last year was a four seed in the NCAA tournament. San Diego State made a little bit of a run last season in the tournament. There is going to be that four or five seed that is going into it thinking, hey, we got a shot if everything comes together. And it's going to come together for the next three or four games. Rob, as we are looking through this bracket, who do you think that could potentially be? Let me give you a couple of teams I think it could be. Number one is Illinois. I think Illinois is a good basketball team. I also think that they are in a region where I think you could win a game against Texas or Xavier. You could beat a Kentucky team that's a little bit young. You could then potentially knock off either it's a Tennessee or a UCLA in the Sweet 16. You look up and the sixth seed Illinois Fighting Illini are playing Houston, and it is the 1-6 matchup in the Midwest region. I think it could be either the winner of BYU and VCU. BYU is a more veteran, older team. They're a team that can shoot it really well. I could see BYU being a team that gets hot and shoots itself to the Sweet 16. You then got a one-game scenario against a team like Alabama coming out of the East region, a team that doesn't play a whole lot of defense, a team that plays a very comparable style to BYU, and they're the 4-6 seed that kind of gets hot and gets right. I think there's a couple of teams in the South region, Texas A&M, Ole Miss, two teams from the SEC. One of those, I guess, middle-tier SEC teams is just going to go on a run. You're used to this level of competition. You're used to a stretch where you played Alabama, Florida, and then you went on the road and played Auburn. Wait, now hold on. I get to play Yale? I haven't played a team as bad as Yale in 3 months or so. Oh, wait, we could play Michigan? We've played this Michigan team 7-8 times this year in the NCAA tournament. Yes, your Florida could win this thing. Your Auburn could win this thing. I think there's going to be another team from the SEC that's a 4-6 seed that makes a little bit of a run. Texas A&M and Ole Miss could be that team. In the West region, I guess Memphis could be that team. I'm not the biggest on Memphis, but I guess Memphis could potentially be that team. There's a lot of people that think that Maryland could be a team that potentially gets hot and goes on a little bit of a run. Ultimately, though, they would just run up against Florida, and I'm just not picking against Florida, at least not in their own region. But, and we'll talk more about the kind of double-digit seed that's going to get hot, but if you look at last year's NCAA tournament, there was a four seed that ended up making the Final Four. I think the most basic standard how you fill out your bracket. You take 2-1 seeds, you take a 2 seed, and you take a 4 seed. Who could that potential 4 seed be? Last year, Duke was that 4 seed that made the run, and they lost to the 11 seed NC State. If you look at the last handful of years, there's usually been that double-digit seed that made a little bit of a run. Who could that team potentially be? Is there a 4-6 seed that you're looking at the tournament that you think is particularly dangerous that could be the bracket-busting team?
They aren't in the 4-6, but they fit this narrative because the school I'm about to pick is a traditional good school who is having a subpar season, but you know they have the ability. It's Gonzaga. I know Gonzaga is an 8 seed, so they don't fit that 4-6, hey, mentality. That's usually where A&M, who's a good school that had a little bit of a down end of the season. That's where your Purdue's and Michigan's. But I think Gonzaga fits all the criteria you laid out. They are doing it from an 8 seed. They're a KenPom top 10 school. This show loves KenPom. They're a KenPom top 10 school. They play Georgia in round one. They're a trendy upset pick in round two over Houston, and if they can get past Houston, which is a monumental ask, I understand that. They place what? A ACC team in Clemson that was the third best in their conference? You could see Gonzaga winning that game. Gonzaga is a team that Mark Few is a staple of the Sweet 16. Gonzaga is a fixture in the NCAA tournament. I could see they had a little bit of a bad season, but they finished hot. They won their conference tournament. They're peaking at the right time. I could see them beating a Houston and ending up in the Elite Eight or Sweet 16. They're not a 4-6 vibe, but they have that traditional power that fell on a little bit of hard times energy.
Let me ask you this. Now, this could potentially just be a one-year sample size. That's why I think it's a good conversation. Do you think that the mid-major is dead? I ask that because last season, there was no mid-major that made the Sweet 16. The teams that made the Sweet 16 were all power conference teams. Now, there were varying degrees of those teams, but there was not a traditional mid-major team. Now, a couple of years ago, Princeton won their second-round matchup. They actually beat Missouri. They also had Florida Atlantic. That was the year that Florida Atlantic made the Final Four and made a deep run. That player then transferred to Arkansas the next year. Do you think that the transfer portal, yes, it has risen the floor for some of these schools, and it has caused a team like Missouri or Iowa State or Auburn to be able to grab up a bunch of transfers, they move up a level, and you can be competitive the next season. But those kids have to transfer from somewhere, and they're coming from the Cleveland States, they're coming from the smaller schools, and now they're going to Kansas, Missouri, the rest of the country. Do you think that maybe one of the unintended consequences of the transfer portal is we are now zapping some of the juice from these mid-major teams in the NCAA tournament?
That's an interesting question, and CJ Moore knows more about college basketball than me, and he kind of hinted at that too. I'm going to say this. I think it's a blip. Last year being a blip that the mid-major got ruined, because before Florida Atlantic made their run, were people like, man, one day John L. Davis is going to be a great Razorback. He had to start somewhere. He had to still be at a mid-major before they plucked him. This year, Bennett Sturts, I'll use Drake as the example, is a really good basketball player. He's, what, one of the third-team All-American? He's a really good player. He's going to get plucked the next season, but you can't get plucked right now. He's on a team. I could see them making a run. People on I can't pronounce the name. He's the kid from New Zealand. He's the point guard on San Diego. He's eligible for another year. He will have a game in this tournament where he could make some noise before he gets plucked. So I don't think the mid-major is dead because we just don't know the next wave of the mid-major players. You're right. John L. Davis left Florida Atlantic. The big guy from that Florida Atlantic team, whose name escapes me. He's now at Michigan. Like, he followed Dusty May. Like that,
yeah, but I guess
he had to be a mid-major at one time. That player still exists in this tournament. He hasn't been plucked yet.
Yeah, I'm with you, though. But I guess the argument would be is any one of those players that pops up, they can only be a one-hit wonder. And if you pop at Drake and you're Bennett Sturts and you've developed into one of the best point guards in the country, you are not going back to Drake next year. It is not in your financial interest to go back to that school next season. It is not in your best basketball interest to go there. Kansas then calls you and asks you to come play there, and you take the Kansas job. It's just what is happening to college basketball players is the same thing that happens to college basketball coaches. You are one of the best coaches at a mid-major. Sure, you can stay at St. Peter's if you want. You can't make all the money that you can make. You don't have the best career advancement if you stay there. Why don't you come work for us? That's what's happening now. So that's why I think this tournament is a really interesting kind of thing, because you and I grew up in most college basketball where, hey, a lot of those mid-majors had a bunch of juniors and seniors, and they had a bunch of juniors and seniors that had been playing together for 3 or 4 years. So by the time you're a 9 seed in the NCAA tournament, hey, you really got a chance to shock the world. I don't know if the current system allows a team like Wichita State from a couple of years ago to happen. Think about Wichita State. Wichita State had Fred Van Fleet, who was turned out to be, what, a 10-year pro in the league, one of the better point guards. It had Klee Anthony early. It had Ron Baker. No chance a school like Wichita State would have all those kids right now. The moment Kansas or Duke found out about Ron Baker, hey, we're calling you. We need to give you $2 million to come play basketball with us. I don't know if that's the current system of college basketball, that it will allow a school to have too much talent that plays at one of those lower levels.
You're right. And I guess for me, outside of Gonzaga, who has turned from mid-major into power.
Yeah, no, Gonzaga doesn't count as a mid-major anymore. Yeah.
Usually these Cinderella stories, these mid-majors, have always been one-year moments. Yeah, Steph Curry and Davidson existed, but they had an all-time NBA player on their roster. Usually it's player, you know, Cinderella makes a run, coach leaves. And when coach leaves, it usually falls apart. I mean, VCU was a Final Four team. They beat Kansas with Shaka Smart. You know what they didn't have next year? A Final Four team. Their coach left. So I think it's the same as opposed to, hey, remember that one magic run by, you know, Dusty May and Florida Atlantic? We're not going to say, remember that one magic run by Bennett Sturts? We're going to say the player's name as opposed to the coach, but it's more about the 1 year, because we don't remember, you know, they aren't dynasties in the mid-major. We remember them for the singular runs. We don't remember them for, you know, the sustained success. So I think they still exist, but you're right. They are now one team got hot and beat you moments more than they are, oh, they're just more experienced basketball players.
Coming up on the other side, we have one more region to go through. We'll do it next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
C-Dot, what was your favorite Cinderella team in the NCAA tournament? Mine was Florida Gulf Coast, a.k.a. Dunk City. I remember there was this small university out of the Midwest, hailing from a small town somewhere in northern Iowa. And they were going up against an absolute juggernaut. You know, they were going up against guys whose names are in the rafters in one of the most iconic basketball gyms in America. No one gave them a chance to win. No one believed in them. But you know what? Through grit, heart, integrity, playing the game the right way, in what was basically a road game, they defied the odds and advanced that day in the NCAA tournament. That's my favorite Cinderella team. Yeah, you might throw out a George Mason that made the Final Four. Remember when they beat that UConn team that had Marcus Williams on their team? That George Mason team was one of the early Cinderellas that made a deep run in this tournament. But I'm always going to hold a very special place in my heart for that school that was located somewhere in northern Iowa that accomplished what no one thought they could accomplish. And they knocked out the number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament. Rob, that's why we watch. That's what makes the tournament so special. That's why they call it madness. It's teams like that school from somewhere in northern Iowa that they could go and knock off a blue blood with a Hall of Fame coach and legendary players. Nobody believed. That's the true definition of a Cinderella.
Why? Just why? There was we've had 2 16 seeds win games. We had a 15 seed in this. In the Elite Eight 1 year? Why?
I thought the question was, what's your favorite? That's my favorite. Why do I can't pick your favorite. I can only pick my own. That's my favorite Cinderella, is that team that I'm talking about. You're allowed to pick your own. Do you have one? Would you like to add to the discussion? Don't try to knock down my pick. We didn't get your pick. Who's your pick?
St. Peter's. St. Peter's was the actual best story.
It's okay.
They beat Kentucky,
I don't remember
who had
that.
The National Player of the Year in Oscar Tshiebwe. There's a throwback name. Their best player was some little white kid with a mustache whose name escapes me, and their coach then got hired to Seton Hall. They were in the Elite Eight, and they played North Carolina longer than the 15 seasons they ever made. They were the Peacocks. We all had Peacock pride. That gif from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air was everywhere on social media when St. Peter's was doing that. It was a magic time. You know what happened that year? It was a 2022 tournament. You know how it finished? I actually like the finish of that Cinderella story the best.
That's actually one of my least favorite finishes to the NCAA tournament. I've actually forgotten how that tournament ended. What happened at the end?
Armando Bacot beat Cinderella, and then he got what was coming 2 games later.
I don't even remember that. That's wild. That's wild. I really forgot that happened. You know, sometimes you just forget that things happen, you know? You just forget. No, that's one that I just forgot.
Do you know what? Well, I'm thinking about another 15 I liked. A couple years ago, Princeton, they made a really impressive run to the Sweet 16.
Shout out to them.
They housed some SEC school by like a 50 ball in the second round.
Real student athletes is what they have.
They were definitely playing for the name on the front.
That's what we support. We support real student athletes on this show. That's what.
There was no NIL money going to those Princeton kids. I'll tell you that.
No, they're getting a different kind of NIL money. They got internships lined up at Google. That's what they got lined up.
They were getting paid the same amount, but it wasn't to hoop. I'll tell you.
They got.
Bring your TI 84 plus, and they were dominating.
Yeah, they got something completely different going on. All right, we got one more region left. It's actually the West region. Missouri is in it. Kansas is in it. Arkansas is in it. This is a fun local region. Hit it, Rob.
Carrington is the most fascinating region for the local schools. Let's just put Missouri to the side because you're most interested in the Missouri game in the first round.
No, I'm perfectly fine with doing that. The game that I'm most interested in that doesn't include Missouri is Maryland versus Grand Canyon. I think the tie-in Grant Foster kid that went to Slagle, who started his career at KU and then transferred, I think he could single-handedly win Grand Canyon a game in this year's NCAA tournament. This is their third time going it. They won a game last year in the NCAA tournament. They play a very fun, up-and-down style of basketball. Yeah, my favorite game outside of Missouri is Maryland-Grand Canyon. And I gave you guys a stat. In 4 of the last 6 NCAA tournaments, a 13 seed is won. The odds suggest that one of these 13 seeds is winning in round 1 of the NCAA tournament.
I'll also stay away from the Mizzou game. We've talked a lot about the Mizzou game, and we'll talk more tomorrow about the Mizzou game because it's one of the local games. That game's just fascinating for pace. I'm really interested in Colorado State-Memphis. I don't understand Memphis at all. Why are they a 5 seed? Why are they a 5 seed, and why is Gonzaga an 8? It makes no sense to me. What has Gonzaga what has Memphis done this season to earn a 5? They are actually the betting underdog in their game against the 12 seed Colorado State, but I don't know if you've seen how the Mountain West has fared in the Big Dance recently. It's bad, but that Memphis Colorado State game is fascinating to me because I could see a scenario where it's a 12 and a 13 in the second round, or I could see the two powers dominating. Memphis Colorado State is very interesting to me.
Somebody on the text line asks, is Sister Jean still alive? Yes, Sister Jean is still alive. Listen to this, Rob. How old do you think Sister Jean is?
At least 100. I'm not trying to be mean. I think she's legitimately 100 years old.
Jean Dolores Smith was born August 21st, 1919. This woman is 105 years old. Yes, she is still alive. She was born in San Francisco, California. I've learned so much about her. I'm sitting here, I'm like doing a quick read on her. She considered becoming a nun when she was in third grade. Sister G might have been a tattletale then.
How many third grades? If we went to, what's the closest elementary school?
You might have been a tattletale. If you're telling me in third, fourth grade, you knew you wanted to be a nun, hey, you can't sit at our lunch table. You would definitely tell on us.
That's definitely a 1920s life goal. I don't think if we went to the local elementary schools, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up, kids? You might get
the hall monitor is what you want to be.
Astronaut, fireman, police officer. No one's gonna be like, none. Sign me up for that. Now there's nothing wrong with that profession, but I don't think third graders are fired up for it.
Yeah, I'm telling you, because she was the hall monitor back in the day.
All right, Carrington, back to the NCAA tournament. Let's talk now about Who is a sleeper in the West region that could come out and make a run to the Final Four?
I'm not looking for you. Don't ask me that question.
I'm looking for.
Don't ask me that question because you know who I'm going to say.
Off the beaten path, a team that you don't see coming.
You know who I'm going to say could be the sleeper in this region.
Kansas?
Are there good teams in the NCAA tournament? Is the tournament happening at Allen Fieldhouse? Because if the tournament is moved to Allen Fieldhouse, yes, KU has a chance. They have a chance of going on a little bit of a run. All right, I will remove my bias for this question, and I will say Maryland. Maryland or Memphis, I think, have a chance. There is a chance that we have potentially overvalued Florida, and Florida is the first one seed to lose. They lose in the round of Sweet 16. They lose to Memphis or Maryland. So I will say one of those two teams is a sleeper. Other than, I mean, there is a pathway for Missouri. There is a pathway. They play Drake. They can run Drake. I don't want to say off the floor, but Drake is not able to keep up with the pace. They play Texas Tech. They play one of the more exciting games of the tournament in which Missouri wins like 92-88. Would not be surprised if at any point this season at a neutral site, Missouri beat Texas Tech or vice versa. And then potentially in the round of 16, they could play Kansas, Arkansas, St. John's, or Omaha. They've already beat two of those teams this year they've already beaten, and St. John's can't score. There is a path, for Missouri to make a little bit of a run. Now, knowing that, Missouri can't stop anybody. They can't stop anybody.
I was about to say, that scoring bonanza against Tech, they're giving up more than 89 in that game.
Yeah, I mean, that might be a 105-104 barn burner when those two teams go up against each other. No, Missouri's probably not going on a run, but the path is certainly there for Missouri or Tech to go on a run.
Let me put on my Big J journalism hat here for a minute and not take Kansas, because I can play the same game with Kansas. Hey, they're senior laden. They figure it out. They're healthy. I can play the same game. The answer for a sleeper is Tech.
Hold on. You can't play the same game. Missouri has beat real teams away from home. You guys
Kansas
haven't
beat Duke and Michigan State away from home.
Last, you guys haven't. In November? We're counting November wins now? It's the middle of March.
It was this college basketball season. Those things occur.
KU's best wins happened before Thanksgiving. Don't talk to me about those wins anymore. Missouri in conference went on the road and beat Florida. Missouri in conference went on the road
Chiefs
and beat Mississippi State.
The Chiefs hadn't played the Super Bowl when that game happened. I don't think the Chiefs have played the Texans yet, and you're talking to me about the Florida-Missouri game? It's the same throwback.
Okay, one's from January, one's from November. One was in conference play. One, Cooper Flagg was playing in his fourth college game.
Yeah, the National Player of the Year without
Cooper Flagg. Actually, in hindsight, Cooper Flagg, he was 17 when you guys played him.
It's also worth noting that Hunter Dickinson didn't play in that game because he kicked the dude in the face. That's what happened. There's no way to say it differently. He kicked the guy in the face and didn't play. The actual answer for sleeper is Texas Tech. Scoring the basketball matters in March because the anti-college basketball people are going to, you know how it's going to be on the internet. You know, there's going to be one game where kids are just brick city and the people are going to be like, oh, this is March. It's unwatchable. Texas Tech can score the basketball, and JT Toppin is a matchup nightmare if it's a second round game with Missouri. And if they get St. John's in Sweet 16, you know what Tech can do? Score. You know what St. John's can't do? Score. I don't know they're a Final Four team, but Texas Tech has all the makings of an actual sleeper.
Yeah, I agree with you.
All right, Carrington, time for you to answer the big question. Double-digit seed in the West region that could make a run. Now, earlier, if we flash back a week ago, there was big talk about the team that won the Valley. Are you going to stick with that pick as a double-digit seed that could make a run?
No, I'm not. I'm not sticking with that pick. And you know why I'm not sticking with that pick. Yes, if Drake was playing any other six seed, I would be picking them to win. I'm not saying that Drake can't win. Drake can absolutely win. But you know why I'm not making them my sleeper. So if I have to pick somebody else, I'll pick Grand Canyon. That'll be my team that I'll pick. I'll pick Grand Canyon.
Love that pick. I'll stick with that idea of having a local kid on my double-digit seed. I'll take Drake. I support local basketball. Liberty's finest. As I've always said, Liberty produces the best basketball players. Bennett Sturt's going to hoop tomorrow.
Here you go.
Cam Manewu, friend of the show. He can come back on whenever.
It's Man Yao.
Doesn't matter. He can come on whenever he wants.
Pronounce the young man's name correctly.
Pride of Staley, he will be hooping. Ben McCollum, I don't know if you know this. He coached at Northwest Missouri State before he went to Drake. It's under the radar fact.
Why can't you pick Colorado State? Their point guard's from Kansas City. Their point guard went to Staley. Yeah, why can't you just pick another double-digit team?
They only have one. I need at least two on the roster.
Okay, here you go.
That's how that's going to work.
I need two on the roster.
Two on the roster is the key. I actually think the Drake-Missouri game is the most interesting game in the NCAA tournament because of how slow Drake plays. Like, if you are listening to the show and you've never seen Drake play, do not expect a barn burner. They're going to dribble up, and it's going to be four corners basketball, baby. They are slow. All right, Carrington, in the West region, who's your Final Four pick?
Missouri. Let's turn the music down. You thought I was going to pick somebody else? Come on now. That's what you thought I was going to do? You thought I was going to come in here and be like, oh, Maryland. I don't care what I said earlier, that I like Houston and Florida to pick to win the national championship. They're in Missouri's region. I ain't picking them. And Missouri's matched up decent against Florida this year, too. At least acknowledge they matched up decent against Florida. They beat them once, and they were doing okay without Mark Mitchell until the end of the game, and then they weren't doing fine.
I was actually impressed in the SEC tournament that despite no Mark Mitchell, they hung around Florida as long as they did.
Yeah, I think the national championship game is going to be Florida against Auburn. So I'll be serious now. I think that's the national championship. I think those are the two best teams in the country. Florida, Houston.
You know what I know what I'm selling stock on? St. John's. I don't get it with St. John's. Rick Pitino is a known name and they're New York's team, but man, the Big East stinks. I mean this seriously. You have talked about how the ACC is down. Look up who's in the Big East. It is a who's who of riffraff.
See, you call me a hater. You've been looking for reasons to discredit St. John's for 3 weeks. You've been looking on reasons to pick against
them. Also, if we're going to do this, if we're going to talk about St. John's.
And that's fine, but you've been looking for reasons to not pick St. John's.
Let's look at St. John's non-con. It's riddled with losses to Georgia, who's just okay. I'm not impressed that you really gave it to Butler in the Big East tournament. Who cares? The ACC stinks and the Big East stinks. It's not college basketball that me and you grew up with. Those were prominent powers. Now they're just mediocrity. I mean, the next best Big East team in the tournament is who? Creighton as an 8 seed?
Yeah, probably.
UConn as a 9 seed or an 8 seed? That conference stinks. Like, I can, and they don't score, and they don't shoot threes. Like, I'm cool. They beat Marquette.
Rob, you know what you're doing? I know you're not going to acknowledge this.
They'll beat Kansas, but that doesn't mean anything.
I know, but you know what you're doing? You're doing the same thing that I'm doing with Missouri. Now, once you see the bracket, you're trying to talk yourself into Kansas figuring it out. Even though I've sat here with you every day, and you told me how you can't wait for this season to end for Kansas. Now that you've seen the bracket, you're starting to dream a little bit. Go ahead and admit it. You're starting to talk yourself into Kansas making a run in the NCAA tournament. Even though I know for a fact you have sat in person and saw KU lose at least four times this season.
Oh, I've seen them lose a lot.
You've seen them in person. You are now talking yourself into them doing something this March. Just go ahead and come clean with it. I can admit that's what I'm doing with Missouri. I can admit the team that I don't think can guard anybody at this point.
Does having my team make the second weekend count as dreaming a dream? Because, yes, I am doing that then.
Oh, I know you, Rob. If they beat St. John's and they get to the second weekend, you will absolutely – they would then play Texas Tech. A team they've already played twice. Then you'll be like, oh, well, you know.
They only played Tech once, and they lost at home.
Oh, yeah, they did lose that. Okay, I thought they played them again in the Big 12 tournament. They lost to Arizona, my bad. It's hard to keep up with teams they've lost to. They lost to so many different teams this season. It's hard to keep it all in line with what teams that have beaten Kansas this year. They've been like an old rug. Everybody's been beating them this year, just taking turns, pounding on this KU team this season. They're embarrassing.
I will say, I am starting to dream a dream a little. Because
I know, I can tell you are.
I just don't think St. John, everyone's high on St. John. I'm the only person who's down on St. John's because they're just okay. And Rick Pitino's a scumbag. A lot of people are talking about like, oh, I'm so happy Rick's back in the tournament. Why? He's a scumbag.
Let me ask you a question. This is a very – can we come together for this? How do you think Kansas City is going to play it with Missouri and Kansas both playing in the tournament at the same time tomorrow? Because let's say that someone like you, Rob, you don't want to watch the game at home with just you and your wife. And you're thinking, hey, I want to go. Let's go grab a bite to eat. Let's go grab something to drink. Why don't we go by the other place? Shout out to the other place. Five great locations around town in Kansas City. Now, I love the other place, and they know that. But if I walk into the other place and the sound's not on for the Missouri game, I'm going to the other place. I'm finding somewhere else. How do you think Kansas City's going to play that tomorrow? Because that's going to be critical. Everybody is not there to watch the exact same game. Some people are there to watch KU. Some people are there to watch Missouri. What is it? Kansas plays at 6:10. Missouri plays at 6:35. So they play at the same time tomorrow. How are bars handling it around the city if you go to Johnny Taverns tomorrow?
That's a great question. I don't know. I think there are certain bars in town where it's like it's a known thing. Like if you're at Johnny's, it's a KU bar. If you're at Harpo's, it's a Mizzou bar.
Yeah, for sure.
But if you're at like
the other place, that is neutral. The other place is neutral. Yeah. The other place is the Iowa bar.
I don't know. I wonder if each bar is going to handle it based on how many people show up. Like if we go, there's five locations on the metro. If we go to the other place in Belton and there's more Mizzou fans, they should have the Mizzou audio on. If we go the one around the corner from the station, it's more KU fans, they'll probably have it more KU audio on. But if you are a bar or restaurant owner, you need to have a plan because you can't have no plan. People like me and you show up and be like, da-da-da-da-da, I need audio of this one on, and all of a sudden it becomes pandemonium in these bars.
I'm being serious, and I want you guys to support the other place. Go out there. Great people. They've been great to me. They've been great to the show. I love them. I cannot imagine watching an NCAA tournament game that Missouri is in. Why? I don't even care if the audio is on while Kansas is playing. The worst thing that could happen in that scenario is Kansas win, Missouri loses, and now I got to – no, I'm not sitting there for that. If Missouri's going to be eliminated from the NCAA tournament, I'm watching them in the comfort of my own home. I'm going to be disappointed by myself. I'm not going to be out, and now I got to chase down the waitress to get the tab after my team just blew an 8-point second-half deficit? Absolutely not. I don't know how you guys do it.
Especially the timing of the game.
I'm serious. I don't know how you guys go out to places to watch games. You were all hyped for the Super Bowl. You got your seat somewhere. You just got to sit there out in public and watch your team get the beats put on them. Oh, no, I can't do that. I can't do that. It's one thing to watch them lose at home or over a friend's house. In public? No, I can't do it. You'll never catch me out watching a game for a team that I actually care about what happens in it. No. I got to sit there and you come up to me. You got to ask me questions. I don't want to talk to you right now during the game. Please leave me alone. I'm sure cool to talk to you any other time. I don't want to talk to you right now.
I have no plans of leaving the house tomorrow for the game. If they win, I'll go out Saturday because I don't think they're going to win. Even though St. John stinks, I don't think they're going to win Saturday. So I'll go out. It's a Saturday. Weather's not. I'm not leaving the house for tomorrow's game.
Yeah, someone says paying the tab after an L is so bad. Always takes forever since everyone's rushing to leave. Oh, yeah. When your team's about to lose that last 3 minutes, when you're trying to get Amanda's attention to sign the check, oh no. Then I gotta wait for you to come back and I'm just sitting there. No, I'm not doing that.
Also, without fail, in this world, it seems like I always get the waitress who's not a sports fan, and she'll be like, I don't know why there's a big rush to leave. Are you not seeing what we're all seeing? Our team's losing. I'm trying to get out of Dodge immediately. Seven tables all tabbed out. Yeah, let's speed it up.
I'm telling you. Someone says, state line, Kansas plays Kansas, Missouri plays Missouri. I don't know. Tomorrow, if you go to McFadden's in Power and Light, are we 100% sure they're playing the Missouri game?
What's
and not the
living room at Power and Light going to play?
It's a great question.
I would never go there to watch a game.
Oh, hell no.
That feels like that's like the worst version of this.
Not this game. I got to go.
Yeah, this is a on-the-couch game. But if you are running Power and Light, what do you have on the big TV tomorrow?
I don't know. That's a great question. Text line 913-586-7965. Are you giving Missouri the bottom TV and KU's getting the top TV tomorrow?
Missouri is getting the last 20 minutes. I'm not watching a minute of that game until Kansas is over.
I might not even put KU on the TV. They might just get the iPad. I might just set the iPad up. I'm not watching that.
You know what Mizzou's getting? Twitter checks. That's what they're getting tomorrow.
I've seen enough of this season, Boogie Fland. I've seen enough Boogie Fland this season. I got no interest in watching Arkansas play any more basketball games. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. I don't know if we give this idea enough, I don't know, credit, love, I don't know the correct term. But when you think about it, the NCAA tournament is essentially the origin of the Red Zone Channel. If you think about the way that we used to watch the tournament, you would get one game. Now, if it was your local team, you had to watch that game from start to finish, unless it was a blowout at the end. But if it was your local market, you were stuck. But if it wasn't, it was essentially Red Zone. It would take you around the country and you'd pop in and you'd pop in here. And then when the game was starting to wrap up, you would go live and everybody was watching it and you would get that level of excitement. It was great. Now, essentially, they have turned the NCAA tournament into Sunday Ticket. You now can watch all of it. You can watch every single dribble of every single game and have everything on a television and a screen at one time. It has really combined two things that people love. It created NFL Red Zone, which is a very exciting way of watching the NFL. It is actually my preferred method of watching the NFL on a Sunday. I love Red Zone. At 12 o'clock at noon, when I see Scott Hansen on my screen, I know I'm about to have a great day. And it also combines Sunday Ticket, where, you know, TBS, TNT, CBS, True TV, I don't know the other channels it comes on, but you can watch every single second of the NCAA tournament. I never thought I would be so wrapped into the ending of a 16 against 16 seed, but the first four, that was one of the best buzzer beaters that we've ever seen. I'm not saying it is one of the most important buzzer beaters. Sure, we've seen last second shots win the national championship. It wasn't that. But when you just think about the play, a full court basketball pass that changes hands a couple of times and a guy gets it and hits a layup for his team to advance into the tournament, I mean, you can't really script a much better ending to a basketball game than that one. It was a really exciting. And if that is the tone that the NCAA tournament is going to have this season, sign me up. I think it's going to be a very, very fun tournament. Let's talk about two potential rule changes in the National Football League, and we'll get back to basketball coming up in just a bit. The Green Bay Packers are still trying to get rid of the tush push. Now, I do understand their gripe. I think it comes from sour grapes, but I do understand their gripe. And one of my complaints about the NFL is a majority of the rules are heavily slanted for the offense. This is a rule that allows all the players on the offense to push one player forward for a first down. It doesn't seem like you should be able to do that. That actually seems illegal, but that's neither here nor there. I think what makes these other teams salty is that these other teams have tried. They've tried to do the tush push. They're not that good at it. Maybe it's not random. Maybe it's not a fluke. Maybe there is some skill to it. Maybe there's some skill. I watched the AFC Championship game. Many of you watched it. I saw the ratings. I saw a team try their version of the tush push. It didn't work. If that was Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia, then the Chiefs don't even go to the Super Bowl because Buffalo would have been 5 for 5 on those plays. But they're not Philadelphia. They went 2 out of 5 on those plays. They lost. They lost. The issue with the rest of the league seems simple. You're better at this than we are. Therefore, you shouldn't be able to do it. I don't really have the problem with it from a television standpoint the way that everybody else does. It's a quarterback sneak. Since when were quarterback sneaks cool plays? They happen. We see quarterback sneaks all the time on fourth and short. When were fullback dives exciting plays? It's a short yardage run play. How exciting was that ever supposed to be? So I don't really know if that's a very fair argument and a reason to get rid of the tush push. They're just better at it than you are. And everything goes in a cycle. It's not like the tush push is in our lives for the rest of it. There was a time when the Wildcat seemed unstoppable. Teams don't run the Wildcat as much anymore. Sure, every once in a while, it's a trick play, it's a gadget play. There was a time that a team spent a second-round pick to run this formation. It died. It was over. There was a time where the spread was so new and innovative, no one sees it that way anymore. This thing's relatively new, and they're really good at it. I don't know if you're running that play when Jalen Hurts is in his mid-30s, but they're running it right now. You got to give it to Philadelphia. They have mastered short yardage conversions. The other push right now in the NFL is essentially to get rid of divisions. Now, not in that sense, but they want to have it where, yes, winning your division would guarantee that you would make the postseason, but it doesn't guarantee you seeding. So you could win your division and still be the 7 seed and now go on the road in round one of the postseason. I don't like this rule. I would say one of the beautiful things about the NFL is the divisions matter. So it matters when the Chiefs play the Raiders. It matters when the Steelers play the Ravens. Because you know that it comes with an inherent benefit of guaranteeing that your team gets a home game. So yes, sometimes you will have a flaw in the system where a 12-win team has to go on the road and play an 11-win team. And yes, that might be unfair. They won their division. You didn't. They won your division. Divisions have to matter in the NFL. They have to matter. Yes, winning the AFC West, winning the NFC North, winning the NFC South has to matter. It has to come with giving you something. And they give you a home game for doing it. If you have a problem with it, win your division. Win your division. That's it. So I don't have a problem with either one of these two things. I don't have a problem with the tush push. It's fine. I wouldn't. If I had a vote, I would not vote to outlaw the tush push. I would just vote for you to get better at stopping the tush push. And I also think the NFL should keep the way they are doing the divisions. I think it is the best way of determining, I guess, the regular season. I think it is a reward. I also think it makes the fan interest in those games. I don't think that the NFL should adopt an NBA rule. I think for the most part, adopting NBA rules is not a good idea to do. And I love the NBA, but following what the NBA does with their regular season is not what I would do if I'm the NFL. That's not a business plan that I would follow. They have made divisions not matter. Now, they just play a substantial amount more games than you play, so that also changes things too. But yeah, winning your division has to matter. And the fact that you play these other 6 games in your division, and if you have a really good record, yeah, I would keep that rule if I'm the NFL. All right, coming up at the top of the hour, let's get back to talking about basketball. Let's continue to talk about the NCAA tournament. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.